It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time with the players and coaches who lived in them. Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl? Or what about the after parties? We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Volume.
It's Jenkins and Jones, presented by FanDuel. The NBA season is kicking into gear, and there's no better place to get in on the action than FanDuel. The app is safe, secure, and easy to use. FanDuel has exclusive offers, boosts, and more all month long. When you win, you'll get paid fast. FanDuel has lots of ways to play, like the spread, money line, over-unders, team totals, player props, and so much more. Jump into the action at any time during the game with live betting, and combine multiple bets from the same game in a same game parlay and try out Same Game Parlay Plus. So, download the FanDuel app today to start making every moment more. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over in select states. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG. All right, we're very excited to welcome on to this week's Jenkins and Jones and Friends, our old pal, a budding success all over the place. Everywhere we look, he's got his face. It's Langston Kerman of the podcast, yeah. My Mama Told Me. Langston, welcome to the show, bro. Thanks for coming back on.
Fuck yeah, I'm happy to be here, and what an intro. I loved it. It made it seem like I'm really important. Hell yeah.
Very important. You're on network TV now, bro. You're our little cousin that we're going to be hitting up for money like shortly.
Hey man, I was a series regular on a network television show that so few people watch, you don't even know that it existed. What, so, you know.
Was that Brandon? Was that the character you're talking
about? I've done it all, baby. I used to make way more money than I do now.
Bro, it seems like you're everywhere, G. Like, I was about to ask you how you manage all that with the shorty, dog. Like, I'm getting my ass kicked trying to figure it all out. We had an interview last week, and I was about, 40 minutes late on that motherfucker because I completely forgot about it. How are you doing that, G?
Yeah, I will say that number one, a nanny changed everything where it's like, if my wife doesn't respect my work, and I don't know
where your wife falls. And she shouldn't, honestly. I'm going to be honest with you, bro. Like,
yeah, I don't disagree with her choice. It's inconvenient for me. I wish you respected me, but you're not wrong. But yeah, so because of that, I think she would naturally presume I'll just be daddy daycare forever and always, and unless I'm like on camera, and that's not a possibility. So I was real adamant we get a nanny, and that opened up worlds. But then her mom also like doesn't work, and it will like just be here for months on end, and that shit, it saves a lot of free time. You know what I mean?
That's a double-edged sword.
It could be. I'll say this, her mom is single and she put me in charge of her Hinge account, so she's my hero.
Hey, speak on that, dog. She doing numbers on Hinge, dog.
I'm out here swiping old men that look like turtles. Come on, dog.
Damn, G.
I'm flirting, baby. And I'm going crazy.
So how does this work? So you're actually interacting on that side?
Absolutely. I have her entire control. So I pick the men and then I chat with the men, and they're all terrible at chatting, but I persist. And then I when I've agreed that this is a man we should engage with, I tell him, give me your number, and then I give her a screen share of all of his information to make sure that she can like call with confidence. You know what I mean?
So you're a filter then.
Yeah. No, you have, man, got your work cut out for you, because men, especially older men, are terrible fucking texters, and I kind of realized that shit when I like texted them. I was texting my uncle like a month or so back. I do some shit on the grill. I was like, bro, you want me to bring you a plate? He said, I gotta go to the doctor tomorrow. I was like, bro, what the fuck does that have to do with anything?
Yeah, that is like, hey. I asked you right? One question. What's happening,
bro? He was so bad at communicating with me via text message. I legit asked my wife, yo, am I this terrible at communicating with you, and I just don't know it? Like, cause he had no idea. He was so bad at that shit.
Yeah, no, all their messages. There was one dude I was messaging with, and at one point I just said hello. I was like, hey man, how are you? And he replied, I'm okay, just lonely. Oh, and it was like, bro,
not yet.
That's early,
bro. Come on, man. What?
At what?
We just started.
At what point can you say that though?
Never. Don't say that. Don't write that down for anybody else to read. You say that in private in front of a fire. You don't fucking put that on paper.
Bro got his
Is it acceptable for that
though.
Age group though? Is it acceptable on, for that man. Age group? You know what I mean?
I pray to God it isn't. There's got to be, if that's acceptable for that age group, we're never going to reach a point where we can vote on the same things in the same way. Like, it like literally ruins all of our potential for unity in this country. If there's an entire mass of people that believe I'm lonely as a greeting is correct.
Sad, people bro. Need a sales background. You need to understand the immediate question someone comes up with is, why is this person lonely?
Like, why? Why, man?
There must be a reason he's lonely.
Right, you old as fuck. You ain't got no friends. You ain't got no family. Like, what's going on with you, dog?
Yeah, nobody in your life was like, hey, don't say I'm lonely first. You know what I mean? Nobody cares about you enough to be like, hey, that'd be the wrong entrance if you were thinking about it.
Can I, John and Tyler, can I take 2 minutes and explain to Langston how he is became the subject of the stupidest running joke we have Absolutely. On our show?
Oh, man.
Oh, right. I'm excited.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Right. Okay. This is entirely a running joke about how stupid I am, so I think that you'll appreciate it. But when we had you on the pod, you mentioned, I think it was shortly after your daughter was born. Is that right? I feel like
I think so.
Yeah.
No, yeah, it was somewhere in there. Like, I think it was before because we were both our wives were both pregnant at around the same time.
Right.
So it had to be before.
Okay. Yeah. And I remember you telling us just when we were talking off air, I remember you telling us it was a little stressful being like on the opposite side of the country, I think, at that time from your wife. And it was like you were stressed. And John was like about to become a dad. That was like all he and I were talking about at that point. And I'm just someone who really cares about people's families and them becoming dads and everything. And so I was like, damn, that's fucking tough. Like, and so we talked about it a couple times on the pod, or not on the pod. We talked about it a couple times where the three of us are just bullshitting. So John, a year later or whatever, John's taking his baby to swimming lessons. And
no,
he saw
I'm swimming.
You.
I'm taking swimming lessons. I don't
You're
know how to swim.
Swim.
Let me be clear. I wasn't going to bring it up, but I've seen this nigga swimming. You know what I mean? I've seen him learning to swim.
Learning to swim, man.
No, it was a very fragile, exposing thing. I was like watching. There were no cool hats, no riffs about Kyrie. It was just a man.
Fighting water, bro.
A man versus
being
the element.
Vulnerable.
Very afraid. In 6 feet of water, bro. Crazy.
All right, so John mentioned us. He's like, I saw Langston when I was at the pool. And I was like, my immediate thought, like Langston, my brain opened the file up. I was like, I hope everything's good with him and his family. I know he was stressed about it the last time. So I asked John, I was like, where was his wife and his kid with him? And John was like, no. And I was like, oh, okay, man, I hope everything's good. And John said, what the fuck do you want me to do, Mike? You want me to walk up to him and go, Langston, where's your family, bro?
I told him you was with your grandmother and your kid. You know what I mean? And he asked about everything. And I'm like, bro, like, you want me to be like, how's your family, dude? Everything okay? Did you lose your family, dude? Where's your family?
Like, hey, man, just checking in on you and your wife. Are you guys?
Are you lonely?
You guys
like
on solid footing?
Yeah, so that became the running joke that we use for like Tom Brady, who threw his whole family away.
Oh man,
Tom, where's your family, bro? Where'd your wife go, Tom?
Oh, that's so funny. Oh man, that's great. I love that. I love being an inspiration and love seeing a man I didn't expect to be swimming.
Was my swimming that bad?
It wasn't. No, you were doing great.
Okay, don't lie to me, though. You can tell me.
It's just, I'll be honest. Okay. It was so wild because it's a facility I almost exclusively associate with children and elderly people. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's just babies and then, like, 80-year-olds doing aerobics on the other pool. Like, it's not a place that I'd be like, oh, I bet I could see a friend learn to swim for the first time. In his 30s. Right.
Was John knocking babies out of the way? Was he like, creating tidal waves that were drenching old ladies and shit?
You know when somebody's like, they're scared, so they're splashing a little too hard. You know what I mean? It's that kind of energy. It's like,
it was a lot of arm, not a lot of leg. It's still that, but we're learning how to use the legs. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's just a little scared. Right.
Or a lot, bro. Or a lot. But whatever, man. We figured it out, man. Has baby girl learned how to swim yet, though?
She can go under and do it without us blowing in her face. She can't really back float yet.
Yeah, so yeah, yeah.
We can't do those videos where like you like kick the shit out of your kid into a pool.
Have them doing an obstacle course underwater. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The ones where they throw in the baby in like they're chumming the water for sharks. They just pick the baby up by the leg and just underhand them right into the middle. Yeah. Of the pool.
Did you see the video when they smacked the like the baby got smacked into the water like that older lady?
I didn't like that one. That one made me uncomfortable. She tricked that baby. You know what I mean? She like kind of smiled a little bit at her and was really warm and then like muffed her into the pool. And that was, that was unacceptable. You know what I mean?
I probably would have told Rather to put hands on her or something. Obviously, I couldn't have done nothing. But like, yo, there might have been some reaction to that, dog. Like, she backstabbed.
No, there's no way.
Right, the baby did a backflip into the water, dog. She put sand like that baby. Like, damn, you need all that? You feel me?
Yeah, it felt like almost an RKO. You know what I mean? Like almost a full fucking wrestling move.
Right.
On that poor child.
And the smirk left her face immediately too. It left too fast. You know what I'm saying?
That's what made it crazy. Right. Because now I know you're just tricking the baby. Right. If you kept smiling, maybe this was just a genuine feeling you had, but this is your responsibility to smack her into the pool.
Crazy.
Fine, I can live with that. But you getting serious afterwards means you fucking you're evil. Right.
That was crazy.
Yeah, no, you're a bad person.
So how's this like the schedule of the pod, like all the stuff you do, like I was saying, like how do you manage all that? Because like I said, I'm struggling with that. So how do you figure that out? Are you like a 5 a.m. waking up in the morning ass nigga like doing a cold plunge listening to motivational videos, bro? I need some help.
I'm not, and I wish I was. I don't know if there's any if that's in any of y'all, but like I really fucking wish that I was a wake up at like 6 and like fight the wind with punches and then
that's John.
And then make eggs.
I'm not. I want to be. I need to be, bro.
You wake up on a day off? What time you wake up?
It's day off, bro. I mean, I wake up with the baby every morning, dog. You know what I'm saying?
We don't have the nannies on the weekend. 6 a.m. before you had a baby.
day off 6 a.m.
Maybe about 6:30. No baby. Maybe about 6:30. You know what I'm saying? That's maybe about 6:30.
And he drinks these. Tyler, tell Langston about the shakes that John drinks.
Come on, man.
the amino acid drinks, the stem cells, the baby fetus.
Have you heard of amino acids before? Have you heard of amino acids before? It's a very normal thing to drink.
I have heard of amino acids, but I think it's way more fun to say that those are stem cells. So I'm going. I'm going Team Tyler on this one. You weird nigga. You drink,
right, bro? You like we know what amino acids are, nigga. They are a hormone your body produces. How you buying that shit at GNC, dog?
Because it's bro, you can buy this shit at Target, probably, nigga. It's very normal.
I just don't think it's normal to turn a human hormone into some powder that you put into a smoothie, dog.
It's next to your Flintstone vitamins, bro. It's not a big deal. I promise. It's on the same aisle. This nigga think I'm like grinding baby fetuses up and making my own.
I guarantee you Flintstone vitamins do not have amino acids in them, dog. I guarantee you.
They can't because they're for kids, Tyler. But it's in the same aisle.
But kids can't have amino acids. They can't have a little taste. No.
I mean, my wife says Ronnie told me can. I'll be trying to like. I thought like get a little sip. Let's see.
Yeah, come on, try it. What's going to
get hurt that bad?
You can be buff. Let's see what happens when we get a buff baby.
You know what I mean? Let's see. But it can't be that bad. Come on, man.
Yeah. No. We've give my daughter. Fried chicken. That's worse than whatever amino acids could do to a baby. You know what I mean?
My baby don't like chicken, bro. I feel bad,
no,
dog.
Don't no. give up yet, man.
What?
She don't like chicken, dog. She spit it out and I looked at her like, have I not done my part? You know what I mean? What have I done, bro? Crazy.
And not in any form? You haven't been?
Nah, bro.
Damn.
Nah, bro. Nah, man. Oof. She'd rather have rice with like yogurt and
that's just babies, bro. That's just how lots of babies are. Tyler will make some fucking chicken for Somi at some point, and it'll change your whole life.
Okay, man. Maybe I'm just
my
not
kids.
The chef
eat, my
I need
kids
to be.
Eat all kinds of shit they didn't eat when they were toddlers. You know what I mean?
That's fair.
They didn't. Maya would eat bread and rice when she was a toddler. That was the only thing she eat. And now she eats bread and rice and toast
and hot bread.
Hot bread. Yeah, I don't know that you get to. I think all you can do is just introduce them to everything and hope that they're cool about it. But it's not like we can fix it. That's the crazy part. They just choose and they keep re-choosing every week.
I mean, yours chose fried chicken, so you've done the good. You know, you've done your part, man.
Yeah, no.
You know
what I mean? Look, my baby eats dirt, so I don't think. I don't think she's leading. You know what I mean? She's not a good leader, but she is. She'll take it down. You know what I mean? She'll eat whatever. It don't matter.
So, Langston, my man, I want to tell you personally how much me and everyone here loved fucking Bust Down. It was phenomenal, bro. It was like one of those shows that became part of my self-care routine. Like I'd be like, all right, I'm going to queue up an episode. I'm going to goddamn get high, you know, Uber eat some shit here. And I'm going to laugh at these motherfuckers, goddamn, you know, holding themselves up at the sperm bank on this episode. A little treat for myself. So, yeah, man.
Yeah,
it's an amazing show, man. Just curious, like, is season 2 on the way or?
No, season 2. Obviously, for those that don't know, Jack R. Knight, who was one of our creators, died, and we wouldn't do it without Jack. Jack and I especially sort of were on the front end of a lot of the writing because Chris and Sam are celebrities and very busy, and so I wouldn't even be able to figure it out the same way if my guy wasn't a part of it. And also Peacock didn't want it back because, nigga, we were acting up.
Really?
So, I don't know.
Nigga, bro, that's the most I've laughed since Chappelle show. I was telling them, bro, like, I haven't laughed.
The question we always ask about Bust Now is, how the fuck did you make that with NBC?
Yeah, I mean, to be clear, and I'm a messy little bitch, so I'll say all this stuff. They never wanted the shit in the first place. They did that, I think, more as a favor to Lorne and a desperate reach to keep Chris and Sam in the NBC universe, mm-hmm. because they were SNL and, you know, right. all the shit. And so they agreed to buy this series sort of as like this favor, which is why it was six episodes. It's not like we would have preferred six episodes. We had a lot more in us. And so like we had this small order on this network that never really wanted this shit. And we did everything we could to like do exactly what we wanted in that short time. So, you know, we covered my boy in cum and had ladies fighting in restaurants. You know what I mean? Like we did everything we could. We fucked homeless people. We swung hard than a motherfucker, you know? We treated it, you know, it was Linsanity for us. I think that's a good vibe. I think that was our Linsanity, where everybody was like, these niggas are going crazy. This might be. Well, no, we're not going to do that no more.
Was that liberating? I mean, like for you and Jack, like knowing like, okay, hey, we sort of have a window here. This is probably not turning into eight seasons with fucking NBC. Was it liberating to just be like, we can do exactly what the fuck we want because we're just, there's no greater expectations beyond making what we want?
I don't think we knew that as much as I'm making it sound in the front end. Mm-hmm. Right. I know it much more now.
Right. Oh, okay. Like
through the process of attempting to release it. But while we were writing it, I think that just was that's always been who we as a four, as a group are, is like people who are interested in being like weird and edgy and a little naughty for whoever's mom could be listening type shit. And that, so all of that felt very correct to our style. And then when we saw the way they behaved after, we were like, oh yeah, we should, we didn't play any game that would have helped us keep this for them. You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
right.
Was there any pushback before it was released? Like,
You know what's crazy is that during the writing process, because of the way that SNL schedule bumped up against when we could actually shoot this, mm-hmm. we had just finished writing season one of Pause with Sam J, which mm-hmm. I had wrote and Jack wrote on, and Sam obviously, and so we had just finished that in like May, and the writing schedule was like 8 weeks from May to like the first week of July. Like I think almost 4th of July might have been our last potential writing day. Mm-hmm. So we had 8 weeks to fucking pack this thing in, which is hell on us.
For sure.
But it also forces that network to not be able to like make drastic ass changes on mm-hmm. everything because that window is so small. So they can't ask us to do six rewrites on shit that they would have wanted to ask us to do six rewrites on. Because no, they didn't want to fucking have a dude covered in cum. They were furious at the very idea of it.
But don't they know the people that are going to watch that are the people that are made to watch that? You know what I'm saying?
They don't know them niggas exist, which is why those shows don't exist. Do you know what I mean? It's not that people haven't been showing up with weird fucking ideas this whole time. It's that they're like, there's no audience for cum covered people. We don't believe that's a thing that is out there. And then it as in the little dent that we left sort of showed that like, the audience exists. And if you put your money and shit behind it, maybe that audience can really feel like seen and heard in a new cool way. But they don't, you know, they don't believe that. That's sort of my takeaway from it.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Cam Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip?
But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
How did you get Freddie Gibbs to play his part in that? And the thing, and I met Freddie Gibbs the night you had the opening, and he was like the nicest nigga on the planet.
Freddie, coolest shit.
And I was I had to muster up the strength to, you know, hey, you're my favorite rapper on the planet right now. You know what I mean?
Mr. Gibbs. He did the Mickey Mouse voice too.
You know what I mean? He's from Gary, Indiana. Be talking about all types of shit that I have never experienced. So I'm like, but he was so cool.
Yeah, excuse me, Mr.
Right.
Gibbs.
he was like,
I sure do like your music a lot, Mr. Gibbs.
Fucking shuffled over there and fucking said that. Yeah, but
I believe you the most when you say you've killed people, Mr. Gibbs.
Don't look him in his eyes and shit, nigga. I'm saying, nigga. No, man, he was now, cool Freddie, as hell.
Yeah, he's cool as shit. And I think we got really lucky because he had just hit a window where he was like really moving into acting, but hadn't gotten like a chance to do a comedy yet. Mm-hmm. We were the first comedy he's ever done. And if you watch his videos, you know, he's always being funny. And he, even mm-hmm. when he's rapping, he's like always on some silly
right.
shit.
Those big time Watson interludes with his uncle, dog. Oh my fucking God.
Yeah. He's just hilarious, like naturally funny. And so like nobody had wanted him to do a comedy because they're still looking at him as the gangster rapper. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And so we were looking for this character that would be willing and feel like they would like bully the shit out of me through every single episode. And it was like, well, who am I most scared of? Freddie Gibbs, I think, is who we're going to aim for. And he just, you know, it was fucking perfect.
Right.
We asked him, he was like, hell yeah. And then he showed up and he was so much funnier than I think we could have ever imagined he would be.
For sure. Worked out perfectly, though.
Yeah.
So, you know, unfortunately, Southside ended too. You know, you're a writer and actor on that. You know, you've been talking about how shady the TV business is now. We saw it firsthand with how that shit just ended out the blue. Like, I mean, how do y'all deal with that shit? I mean, besides, you know, hey, you know, chalk it up to the game, keep it pushing. But like, you know, how do y'all deal with knowing that, you know, the executives might wake up one morning and don't want to fuck with your shit anymore?
Yeah, I mean, I think That one I think hit in a weird way because it Southside much more than Bust Down is a real like hit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like where people know about it. It is popular. It is beloved. There's no like bad reviews of the shit. And so I think it's one of those things where it's like, I don't know how you kind of process that where there's no real explanation. And I'm sure at the end of the day, HBO Max is shedding stuff right now. And like the numbers may not have matched enough to justify keeping it. It may truly be a numbers game, but it's like, ugh, you know what I mean? Like, you know, how do you, okay, if it's that, then what am I doing this for? Mm-hmm. Other than just getting one episode off or a season that I really believe in. You know what I mean? Like, what's the goal now?
But I'm wondering, how does HBO Max benefit from that too, though? Because I mean, like, I have friends in my chat. Like, I don't know if I want to have HBO Max anymore. That's why I had it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
for that. So,
I think they truly are like all the streamers and whatever are algorithm machines. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're really run by accountants at this point in a lot of ways. And so for them, it's like, okay, if you and your friend are going to shed HBO Max, we can afford to lose that number of people because this show is this expensive and it brings in this many views and advertising dollars. We can afford to lose y'all because we're going to gain on, you know, sort of like the cost we lost, you know what I mean? Or didn't lose rather.
Yeah. I was curious about that. Like, you're obviously very experienced and thoughtful in all of the weird corners of the industry as it currently exists. And it just seems like it's so different, obviously, from where it was even like 10 years ago, certainly 20 years ago, where it was like the goal was find a sitcom right there for 15 years, you know, or act on it for 10 years. Right. Like, and now, like you said, you get a deal with NBC. It's like, okay, maybe a six episodes or, you know, or there's no decision maker, even if you are in a more established place like, you know, HBO or something. So how do you navigate that? Like, do you wish there was more stability? Do you enjoy getting to do different things with more frequency? Like, where do you sort of land on the landscape of shit, I guess?
You know what's crazy is that, and this will show you how different the current state of the world is versus what it used to be. Every contract you sign when you like sign for a major show, whatever the fuck it is, if you're in any version of like a recurring cast member kind of thing, they lock you into a version of something called holding, which means that like or positions rather. So in the case of being first position on a show, you often sign a 7-year contract for that show. This show may not go 7 years, but you sign a contract agreeing that for the next 7 years, I am obligated to this thing no matter how it plays out, which tells you that at some point in the industry, shows were going seven fucking years.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, there's no favorite show I have that goes that
period
long anymore.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't even exist in the way that this shit moves. So, you know, I think the to answer the larger question, how do you deal with it? I think you just start strategizing ways to like keep seasons small or to have control over the beginning and endings of things in the story you're telling, because there's a chance this shit ain't coming back. So you might need a dope ass finale and no cliffhangers. You know what I mean?
Right. So to like put that shit in sports terms, it will be like an athlete signing a 7-year deal with every year there's a team option, which like no athlete would ever fucking give, you know, the team that much
power.
Well,
that's an NFL
deal.
That's an NFL deal.
I was about to say, and it would have to be in the NFL because once they cut it, they're not going to give you that 7 years you didn't finish. They're like, nah, it's over. Good luck, big dog.
Industry rule number 4,080, man.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. And at least with the NFL, you'd lose your job, and like they probably let you still go like use the facilities every once in a while. They're not gonna let me back up in Peacock. You know what I mean? Like, they're not gonna let me use the bathroom over there and do push-ups in one of their empty rooms. There's no friend. There's no love. You know what I mean?
I think sports might be more like that than you would think that it would be. Those key cards.
Really?
They got a HQ. They can push two buttons and revoke your key card access too. You know, like
you you don't think Warren Sapp could still show up and they let him in?
Jerry Seinfeld could probably still get into Peacock too, but that's the old guard when emotion still existed and human beings were running things, right? Like we talked about that with sports with the analytics shit. Like I don't think people understand when you talk about analytics, you're talking about like every pro sports team has math PhD people doing quantum analysis like that. Like they hire all those people out of Wall Street. They call them quants, right? Like yeah. That's what they do. They just build algorithms and like let the algorithm run everything. And it is a little like, I'm not going to crack any bottle of Kyrie Irving open right now, but it does feel a little bit like, what the fuck is going on here? Like the math algorithm canceled my favorite TV show.
Like, yeah, I mean, we've talked about it a few times on My Mama Told Me about like sort of the sports being fixed conspiracy theory that like these decisions are sort of being made. And I do think it's a lot lighter than we think it is, where like the shit is fixed. I think it's more like one individual just needed a thing to happen and worked really hard on their part to help make that thing happen. But I don't think it's like the script shit that Arian Foster was talking about. That said, that is the kind of like one person needing the thing, right? Is like you have these accountants who are sort of like making these hard choices and going like, yo, it's more profitable if this person and this team is competing. We can't decide if they win, but we sure would like it if them motherfuckers were involved in the conversation the whole time.
Sponsored by FanDuel.
I'm interested in how that would work in sports, though. Like, you know, how would that work? Is it like what? How does that show up? That way of that thinking when it comes to like, you know what we're talking about.
The analytics shit, or the
like how was like the kind of changing up so like, hey, these two teams would do crazy numbers. You know,
here's a small example. Do you think it's a coincidence that the Lakers have like the 28th easiest schedule for the last month and a half of the season, given that the NBA knew that they were going to make a move at the trade deadline to be more competitive? You know what I mean? Like it's not really an accident that they're charging up from 13th to 9th. When if you look at their schedule, they have the fewest back-to-backs. They play the easiest teams at home. And if you look at the way the roster is constructed, everyone knows like, all right, the first half of the season, they're not going to be that good. Let's make sure they get to, you know, go on.
I mean, that's closer to scripted. Yeah, I mean, that's closer to scripted, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's.
I think, that's what I'm saying. I think it's lightly sort of like strategized. It's the same reason Kawhi Leonard plays every third game. And like, no other job would let you do that. You only play sometimes, and we just accept that. But it's like, no, if he wants to rest and we know he's going to perform in the big situations, and he's gonna really, this is what he does to show up, we'll take the risk that this is worth it.
I mean, fortunately, unfortunately, it's never worked out for him. You know what I mean? Right. On the Clippers, at least, you know what I'm saying?
No, the Clippers, he's struggling, but it did kind of work for him in Toronto. Yeah, that motherfucker wasn't playing like that in Toronto.
And we getting into some shit, bro.
Who are you? Do you have a basketball team, Langston?
Is the NBA scripted? That's the title of this shit, dog.
Langston Kerman says the algorithms are fixing
it. Right.
I just think they're betting on individuals. They're like, this motherfucker makes us money. Kawhi is a walking meme. That's why they. You think they didn't send him into that construction site for a reason? They were like, this motherfucker is gonna be silly in there, and we gotta take photos. Now the coach is in there. He's like, guys, we have to go. This is important. And now the team is rallying. They wanted Kawhi in there. They don't give a fuck if Paul George is in there. He ain't photogenic.
Got a good hairline.
Hairline's too close to his eyebrows. Like
He does have a three head, bro. That my brother has the same shit. He has it because he's Italian, but he has the thing where he's got the step ladder right in the middle of the forehead. It just looks like a little push button, you know?
He's got the original Jamie Foxx thing going on. before he got it fixed.
But I guess it does make sense, being that there's so much money involved in this. But I just can't see, like what Mike was saying, like all that thought put into it.
I think the nice thing is you don't have to put in all that thought for most of the teams. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think a lot of these teams are going to sort of like even themselves out. Charlotte's going to Charlotte.
Yeah.
Fucking Sacramento's gonna Sacramento. Like, even when they're doing good, they come on, y'all. What are we talking about? You know what I mean? So it's like, you ain't got to worry about strategizing around that, but you do got to figure out a way to keep Dame competitive for as long as he's been, even though he lives in a shit city with no real draw other than Dame Lillard. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, they got to keep him competitive.
How do we get LeBron in the playoffs? Bro? He can't miss two playoffs back to back. You know what I mean?
That's boring basketball.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That's it.
He's Bill Cartwright's age now and somehow still playing basketball. Come on, man. Keep it going. Keep that party. Keep the train going.
Do you have a favorite NBA team? I know you follow basketball. Are you just a...
Yeah, you're not going to like nobody ever likes my answer, but I grew up, obviously, I'm from Chicago, so I was a major Bulls mm-hmm. fan, and the Bulls are hard to continue to root for, and also I'm a snake and a turncoat. and so I remain a Bulls fan, but in my heart, I fuck with Golden State. You know what I mean? I love them motherfuckers over there. I like everything they do.
White Skin Alliance.
He got real happy too. You know what I'm saying?
That Klay Thompson fights autism every day and shows out. He every day he wakes up and he says, I'm going to do it despite my autism, and he does it. I love it.
You just fuck with them for the neurodivergence. That's why you like the Warriors.
Bro, where is this going?
He's a star, baby.
Oh, we about to get canceled because this nigga, dog. Wait.
The basketball is fine. Right. I really appreciate their different models of teaching people to read.
Yeah,
not everyone learns
on,
the same way. God damn it. The fuck
come
Bob
on,
Myers
man.
Understands that.
I love it. I love seeing him thrive. He shows up in a boating outfit. He goes yachting and then comes to a game. And you can't root for that silly Billy? Nah, there's something wrong with you.
Crazy, crazy, crazy. What made you like them niggas though, bruh? When did it happen? Was it 2016?
I just think everybody over there is so funny. And they're so fun to like the way that they rub people wrong. It just has always sort of existed in that early 2015, 2014. Wasn't it 2014 that they all finished assembling?
Yeah, I think 2015 was the first time they won. Yeah, 2015.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, that because the year before they had like done really well.
Yeah, for sure.
But I think it was around then that I was like, oh, these are silly Billies. That one can't close his mouth. And the other one runs silly, but he keeps on hurting big men's feelings. Yeah,
relatable. Relatable.
I love everybody over here.
As someone who had a personal reason to root for the Warriors for a couple of years, I would say they're the most fun bandwagon team. By far the most fun team to bandwagon, maybe in sports history. I got to root for the Chiefs this year, which was super fun, but... There's some, you know, relatives and stuff. But the Warriors, because of exactly what you said, people are always annoyed at them, and they're annoyed for the dumbest reasons. Like,
yeah,
you're mad because they made basketball more interesting as a whole for everyone across the country at all ages. Like, that's what you're angry about?
Yeah, no, they created a form of basketball that makes me scared to even step on, like, pickup courts now. Because, like... Everybody is a threat from 45 feet. I can't do that anymore. So like, I'm good. I retire. But like, they created a game I really like watching now.
Bro, I was watching a high school game recently and was like, they're shooting from so far out. Like, I was like, me and my buddy were like, that's so far where these high school kids are shooting from. You know what I mean? Like,
I didn't have the upper body strength to shoot from where so many kids my size shoot from in high school, junior high sometimes.
I didn't have the lower body strength. Like, my legs couldn't have got the ball there from this deep, nigga. It's different these days, but yeah. I had the same thing. I've been like, I don't miss basketball at all because of watching the game that these Warriors created. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That we see, mainly Steph, that Steph has created, bro. It's just, it's not the same basketball I grew up watching, dog. At all.
Yeah, no, it's a different it's a different sport now, and it's better, and every child is better than I was and possibly better than I am. So like, nah, I'm good. I'll be a fan of this wild transformation in technique and shit, you know?
For sure.
Langston, you got any questions for us, bro?
Yeah, I got. Ooh, I've been sitting on this for a while, and I feel like you guys are pretty insightful in the world of basketball. What happened to Porzingis? Let's walk that whole thing through, because he was something in New York. Yeah. You know what I mean?
The algorithms like ain't fuck with him, bro.
Yeah, the white accountant is making the decisions, pulling to the streets, making sure we're in the playoffs. He said Porzingis ain't needed. You know what I'm saying?
But if you want me to really get conspiratorial,
let's go. Because
he's not without a sexual assault history, right? Mm-hmm. Like that was part of the shit that got him in trouble, quote unquote, in New York.
Was that?
Yes.
Okay. I won't hit. Go ahead.
Yeah. So he had like accusations. I don't know. You know, I'm not in enough of any world to be able to decide if he did or did not do it. But he certainly was being accused of sexual assault while he was in New York. And that was also during that injury. So if I'm an algorithm man, I ain't betting on that.
Yeah. And maybe you shouldn't either. Fuck him. You know what I'm saying? Like, with that new information, fuck them. You know what I mean? I just think.
But then you pair him with Luka. You think, oh, this is like, this will be a magical pair, yeah. And he'll be phenomenal again. And he look like, you know, he can't touch his toes no more. What happened to the boy?
Listen, if you a white boy who Mark Cuban can't save, it might be a wrap for you, dog.
facts.
That man was over there trying to put together the Fourth Reich for a minute, dog. I was like, whoa, what's going on here, bro?
That's why he liked Delonte West. He like, you light it up. Come on, I'm gonna fix you.
I just love the Jazz and the fucking Mavs like fighting over like mid-tier white basketball players. Like it's the last steak on earth. Just like with a piece of meat in each of their mouths. Just
They were watching Lauri Markkanen from the tree. You know what I mean? They were they was rubbing their hands together like, we gonna get you.
That man Mark Cuban picked motherfucking Eric Dampier over Steve Nash in the early 2000s and was like, I will never betray my race like this ever again.
And he was right, bro, because what the fuck, bro?
Yeah.
That was the wrong decision for sure.
It was like, I will always bet on a good white man from now on. I'm not going to mess around with these people over here.
Here's your Kristaps Porzingis update from the night before we recorded. The Wizard, our other producer, Adam, is punching air at his fucking house right now. He's a big Wizards fan. Porzingis is on the Wizards. He scored 43 points last night for the Wizards on 22 shots. He was 17 to 22 for 43 points, and they lost to the Hawks by two.
Whoa. But see, I thought he was going to keep doing that all the time. And it's like sometimes he does that, and then he does like, you know, just the layup line, and you forget that he's even there kind of thing.
Yeah.
I interviewed Nas Reed recently, and he was saying that Kristaps was a nigga that cooked his ass when he was a rookie. Like, that he just couldn't guard this motherfucker. And now, like you said, you know, he's just not the guy we thought he was. But he's 7 foot, man. That's a lot to ask, man. You know what I mean?
I will.
He's in a unicorn, my guys. Sorry, Adam. The unicorn, man.
I will say that I do think that basketball, and maybe all sports, is so much just confidence. it like really is like not just, but a lot of the difference between the success of NBA players is truly like some of these motherfuckers just believe in themselves so much more than everyone else who somehow also made it to this impossible position.
Right.
And so like Kristaps maybe had that confidence for a while, and then just he's unfinding it and refinding it again, Adam. Maybe once again he'll be the unicorn you dreamt of.
Good luck with that, Adam. You feel me?
Yeah. All right. Langston, thanks for hopping on with us, bro. We appreciate it. Everyone, hell check yeah. out My Mama Told Me. Anywhere you get your podcast, anywhere you listen to this, I presume. And yeah, man. Best of luck. Always wishing you luck. Glad everything's good with the fam.
I should have said it. We are getting a divorce. So no, I'm joking.
I know you're really happy in your marriage because of how quickly you put your hand up to say you were joking.
Baby, don't hit me.
Bro, that Instagram post you had when you wish your wife happy birthday and you were like, look at my old ass wife. None of y'all old women look this good. Bro, I show that to my wife. She's like, yeah, I know you would laugh at some shit like this.
Yeah, we have fun over here. She puts up, I'm a rascal. You know what I mean?
A silly Billy.
Oh, shit.
Thanks,
yeah, appreciate you, my
appreciate
boy.
Appreciate you, man. For sure, for sure.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time with the players and coaches who lived in them. Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl? Or what about the after parties? We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.